Prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Father, for this opportunity. I thank you for your word that's alive. I thank you for your Holy Spirit. And I get out of the way and I just say, Holy Spirit, have your way. Use me as a pencil. You write your love story. Use me as I open my mouth. You fill it. Let your word just take residence in the lives of your people. Let your word do a work inside of them. And I just thank you again, Daddy, for this great opportunity to be here today to share your word, to speak from your heart to the heart of your people. In Jesus' name, everybody says amen. And so I'm going to read Psalms 23, but I'm going to read it from the Passion Translation. And listen carefully. It says, "The Lord is my best friend and my shepherd. I always have more than enough. He offers a resting place for me in his luxurious love. His tracks take me to an oasis of peace, the quiet brook of bliss. That's where he restores and revives my life. He opens before me my pathways to God's pleasures and leads me along in his footsteps of righteousness so that I can bring honor to his name. Lord, even when your path takes me through the valley of deepest darkness, fear will never conquer me, for you already have. You remain close to me and lead me through it all the way. Your authority is my strength and my peace. The comfort of your love takes away my fear. I'll never be lonely, for you are near. Even when my enemies dare to fight." Oh, I'm going to backtrack. "You become my delicious feast. Even when my enemies dare to fight, you anoint me with the fragrance of your Holy Spirit. You give me all I can drink of you until my heart overflows. So why should I fear the future? For your goodness and love pursue me all the days of my life. Then afterwards, when my life is through, I'll return to your glorious presence to be forever with you." How did that sound? Different from the first one, yes? But I loved it when he said, "Jesus is my best friend." And you know what David was doing when he says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." David is declaring, he's making a statement. He's letting you know that God to him is everything. Can you relate to that? I mean, he's everything. God is everything. And I can relate to David. Had it been before I knew the Lord, I would have not possibly felt that way. But since the Lord pulled me up and delivered me and saved me, and now I'm clothed and in my right mind, I can say like David, "The Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want." Okay, I shall not want. Not everybody can say that. Because we live in a world and hey, we want everything. But David was making a proclamation. He relates himself to a sheep. He knows all the attention, care, protection, and guidance sheep need. He knows he was the shepherd of his father's sheep. David here is making a proclamation. "The Lord is my shepherd." He's reminding all of us. And he reminded himself of the many things the Lord has done for him. He recounts his experiences of the kind thing God had done for him when he was a shepherd. And like all of us, you know, in the Bible it's stated 247 times that we are sheep. And I hate to blow your bubble, but sheep are not very smart. You know, they're not very smart. They're not very tough. They're fragile. They have tiny little eyes. They have tiny little legs. You know, they have a lot of fur, but be careful because they can't stick in deep waters, you know, because they're not going to survive. They're not make it. But David, when he was a shepherd of sheep, he knows what he needed to do, protect them, guide them, and lead them, because they were defenseless. And a lot of times that's how we are. You know, that's why the Lord is our shepherd. You know, because he knows, you know, and like, you know, why David, when he was a shepherd boy, you know, that he would be guiding the sheep. Why? Because they can easily get distracted. Can you relate? You know, when you're driving and you're texting, do you get distracted? You know, I mean, that David knew. He knew, and I'm sure that we can relate how we can get distracted. And it says, I'm saying, think about how blessed you are. Look at what you have, not at what you want, not at what others have, or even what you want. I'm going to say it one more time. Think about how blessed you are. Says, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. Yeah, we want more, and there's nothing wrong with that, right? Within reason, right? But consider what you have now. Think about how blessed you are. Just waking up is a blessing. There's people in the hospital. There's people dying every minute. There's something happening. So think of how blessed you are. And I mean, and be, just let the love of joy of the Lord rest in you. You know, the Lord is my shepherd. What is it? I put it on your notes. He's my source. He's my substance. And I say that personally. He is my source, my substance. Substance, he's within sight of me, inside. And that's what we here as a family should get a hold of. I have all things, not because I have a good business, because we have money in the bank, because you have a house, because you're successful. None of that really matters. You wouldn't have it all had it not been for who, family? For the Lord. We are able to get up. He's gifted us. He's given us talents. You know, to be able to go and do and be successful, to have a business, to be productive. So because it's because of him that we have what we have. So the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. Just maybe, if you're desiring something, right, and you're thinking, well, I've been wanting that, I've been praying for that. If you don't have all that you desire, it might be that it's not good for you or that it's not your time. You know, some of us don't think about that. We get upset with God. Ever been upset? Because you want what you want and you don't get it when you want or how you want. But it's, you know, the Word of God says, your ways are not my ways. Your thoughts are not my thoughts. He knows what's best for us, family. He knows what's best for us. The word that stuck out the most for me while I was praying and wanting to bring this word forth, because I'd been reading this for, I didn't even know that I was going to be sharing today. Pastor Marty asked me this week, but I had been reading Psalms 23 for over a month, and only the Lord knows why, right? And he knows everything from the beginning to the end. But this morning when I was praying and I was just soaking in his presence, I was just asking the Lord, what are you telling me? And out of the whole six verses, because Psalms 23 is only six verses. It's not that long, you know. So the word that stuck out for me the most was rest. And I don't know if you can relate to that, but you know, I had been helping a client to be their nanny. And so I'm going to use this as an analogy, an example. Now I'm referring to rest because he's 3 years old. And when it, you know, they're all fired up and going and doing and doing and jumping and everything. And well, he's scheduled to take a nap at 1:30. When it's time to take a nap and I say, Zayden, it's time to take a nap. Guess what happens? You think he's a happy camper? Oh, no. He freaks out. That word is a bad word to him. You know, but you know, when I'm there, I put him in bed, I massage him, I'm talking to him, I'm singing, and I think it's the tune, how I sound that knocks him out, you know, because I can't carry a bead, but he goes to sleep. He falls to sleep. And why am I using that? Because that's a little 3-year-old. And here we are adults, grown-ups. We go and go and go and go. Some of us have a full-time job plus a part-time job. You know, some of us are working our full-time jobs, taking care of our husbands, our children and grandchildren. It's like we're going, 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 going. And I'm sharing this with you because the Lord is talking to me. Holy Spirit is talking to me about rest. You know, it's beautiful when you can rest in the bosom of the Lord. You don't come up the same way. You know, he refreshes, he renews, he realigns. The way you see things change. You know, some of us here may just need a little boost, you know, need to be rebooted. You know, like plugging up and getting some power. You know, some of us may be out of alignment, like a little sheep that astray, get distracted. You know, they don't know which, they lost their way. And you just need to get back on track and be rebooted. But rest is the one that really stuck out to me. And it says there in where it says, it reads, he makes us. He makes. What is make, the word make? When I was reading it sitting down, he makes us. Does that mean it's something voluntary? No. So how can he make us rest? Well, some of us may have been laid off. From a job. Some of us may have gotten the flu or who knows how or what means. You know, but when he wants us to rest and we act like a 3-year-old and say, I got this. I don't need to rest. I can go and go and go and give me more because I can keep on going. I'm believing that somehow, some way, the Lord will allow something in our lives so that we can rest. Because it's so important. We're all so exhausted with our, like I said, with our kids, with their grandkids. You know, I know someone that with their kids, they get off of work and take them to the T-ball and then another terminate, they don't get home till 10 o'clock at night. Exhausted. And we need to learn to rest. Our responsibility is to stay close to Him. Keep listening to His voice and not to stray. We were created to worship Him. How is that? How can we worship Him from afar? We need to get closer. And I've been hearing Him say to me, come closer, come closer, come closer. And why is He telling me that? Because we get so easily distracted. And I heard Him tell me, obedience is better than sacrifice. So believe me, Psalms 23 to me is not, I know they use it because of the, in where it says through the valley of the shadow of death. A lot of them, you know, use that as, for the funeral services. But everything you read, when you read it and you read it, to me, I'm thinking this is David giving you a praise report. He's telling you, look at my God. He's telling you, look at my God, the Lord, my shepherd. He gives me everything. I have everything I need. It doesn't matter when I go through trials. It doesn't matter that I'm out of a job. It doesn't matter that I'm in the hospital. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. You know, but our perspective is not, you know, sometimes we need to tune it up. You know, we got bad reception. We can't hear right. God dwells in timelessness. Timelessness. He is not in a rush. He says, I am, I was, and I will always be. We, on the other hand, are time driven. We're time driven. We are time bombs. You know, we need to learn to master time, or time's gonna master us. The Lord leads us to still waters, streams which flow from the fountain of living waters. God leads His people not to a standing water which corrupt and gather filth. The water's not stagnant. It's a stream waters, still waters. the pond by my house. My mother-in-law was asking me the other day, why is that water so dirty? You know, why is it so dirty? And that's because it's just stagnant. It ain't moving. And you know, sheep are dirty. Have you ever had a dirty thought? You know, have you ever just not had that right thought? You know, well, doing nothing, being an idle mind, what does the Bible say about that? An idle mind is a devil's workshop. You know, and so the Lord says, I take you to still waters, not stagnant waters. The waters are still, but they're still moving. You know, they're not currents. It's not going to take you out. God is saying, be still and know that I am God. Start saying, I'm blessed. I'm blessed to be a blessing. Confess to yourself affirmations. Take care of yourself. Live on purpose, meaning you make a decision to do what you need to do. Greater is inside of you. Rest. Rest. Rest in the Lord and allow Him to recharge you. To recharge you. He restores my soul. I was reminded of myself. I also was reminded of David. He restores my soul. In Psalms 51, David, broken, full of guilt, shame. He was weighed down because of what he had done. Fallen short, slept with Bathsheba, sent a hitman to kill her husband. And he was weighed down by that. He was so distracted, he just couldn't move forward. And I was reminded of me. There was a season in my life, and I just got so bombarded by what I was going through physically that I lost my way like a sheep. I lost my way. I got depressed. I became isolated in my own little cocoon. I really didn't want to communicate with anybody. But when I saw you, you couldn't even tell because I played it real good. You know, we do that makeup, right? Makeup covers everything and we can dress it up really well. You know, I stayed there I overstayed my welcome. And a lot of us do that. We overstay our welcome. And God doesn't want us there. You know, I had to change my lingo. I had to change the way I was talking. And I remember that initially the way I was talking was negative talk. But then I remember when I was just tired of feeling and being the way I was being. And I remember going to my prayer room. And when I sat down in that chair, Holy Spirit just reminded me of my own words. I could hear it, what I was saying to myself. Not everybody had to say it. I was putting me down. I was digging a hole for me. Holy Spirit reminded me, and I immediately repented before Him. And I said, Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me. I am a good test taker. So bring it on. You know, because we think, because of challenges that we go through, I mean, I don't know if you worn the t-shirt or not, but I know I have that says Jesus reigns and I'm more than a conqueror and no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And then, hey, boom, you lose your job, you lose an account, someone's in the hospital, someone died, and you're wondering, but what does the t-shirt say? You know, what happened? What's going on here, Lord? What's going on? You know what I mean? But I had to change the way I was talking. I had to change the way I was thinking. I had to change my lingo. I got up and started to move. Some of you are stuck. Some of you are stagnant. Some of you are comfortable. Some of you are content. But I had to get up and start to move. I simply stopped being a victim to negativity, a victim to what I was saying to myself, a victim to what others were saying about me, no longer a victim to my past. I had to affirm who I am, just like you have to. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I am chosen. I am gifted. I am the head and not the tail. I am blessed. You know, you have to speak to yourself. Sometimes nobody's going to come and speak it to you. So you're going to have to lay hands on your own self. And you're going to have to pray for your own self. And you see, David is familiar with all this. And he's telling us. He's telling us what he's experienced. He's telling us his life story. He's telling us life events. He's telling us all that he's gone through and who brought him out. To him, the Lord is my shepherd. Man, that means something to him. That means something. The Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. I have everything I need. God says in Philippians, I shall supply all your needs. But we don't only want our needs, we want more and more and more. And not everything that we want is good for us. God knows what you need and he supplies what you need. In the name of Jesus. You know, I'm thinking when David is making that proclamation of how, like, he's saying, like, wow, check it out. Look at my daddy. He takes care of me. I lack nothing. I'm blessed. I got everything I need. I have food. I have shelter. I have clothing. I have it all. I'm blessed. I'm thinking about my little daughter with four legs, Princess. If she could only talk. No, I'm serious. Come on. I'm going to just, you know, look, we have, I don't know, how many pet owners do we have in the house? Well, we have some, not a lot. I was thinking all the hands would go up. But, you know, if Princess could talk, she'd be like, whoa, I love daddy. I love mama. I got it all. I got three beds. I got clothes. I mean, they take care of me. They take me shopping now. You know, but then you have some dogs that, hey, they're outside. They're chained up. They're in the sun. You know, they're not groomed. And I don't know. If you would ask the dog, who would you want to be your parent? What would they say? You know, so David is like, hey, the Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I want. Everything. More than enough. Because it does say your cup overflow, right? He's walking in favor. He's got it all. Even when he's going through trying times. You know, I'm like, yay, yeah. Are you there, family? Am I talking to myself? Is this ministering to you? Is this helping anybody? Listen to this one on verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley. I'm going to say it one more time for those of you that didn't hear me right. Yea, though I walk through the valley. It's a guarantee. It's a guarantee. You know, you could say, but Jesus, but I'm a believer, but I'm a Christian, but I pray all day and I fast and I'm in the Word and I tithe and I do and I do and I do. It says, and I'm going to say it one more time, yea, though I walk through the valley. And there's another version that says, yes, even if I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not be afraid of anything because you are with me. Because we're believers, because we're in the family of God, doesn't exempt you or me from trouble. None of us are exempt. You know, when I was going through my challenges physically, I remember sitting in the truck when I was coming out from the doctor and I asked him. I was asking him in the truck because they said, go stat to go take some x-rays. And I'm like, I was in the truck and I just said, what's going on, Lord? What's happening? What is this about? And he gave me three T's. He says, what do you do for a test? What do we do, family? You prepare, you study for a test. The second one, he says, it's a trial. And he took me literally in my mind I could envision a trial. And some of us need to listen to this one because he says, when he took me to this trial, I could actually see like a court setting, like literally I walked in and I saw the jury and I saw the prosecutor and then I saw the attorney. And he brought me over here where the jury was at and he says, you have all kinds of different people here with elite positions. You have all kinds of people. He goes, but you need to shut the noise down, like shut it off. And then he says, you see the prosecutor? He wants to lock you up. He wants to take you out. He tells you who you're not. He goes, but you need to come over here to the attorney, the lawyer. The wise counsel is what I got from the trial. He says, you need wise counsel. But we're ready to run to everybody, to Facebook, to Twitter, to everybody else for advice, for counsel. When the one that needs to give us is the author of and giver of life is who? Daddy Jesus. He is our wise counsel. And that's what we need to do, family, is we need to know who to run to and who to run from, you know, because not everybody that's next to you is for you. Not everybody that's next to you is for you. It's called friendly fire, the enemy from within. So know that in the name of Jesus. So just know that we're not exempt. In fact, let me tell you, let me just add to that. We're not exempt from tests or trials or tribulations. The word says in Psalms 34:19, it says the righteous person, listen to this, I highlighted it in bold black, may have many, many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. So just be encouraged. Be encouraged and know one thing, that you're going to have trouble. And I hope that encourages you. Because what you need to do is make your face a flint, it says in the Psalms. You know, the Eskimos, they're in the North Pole. They go toward that cold breeze. Make your face a flint. Be tough. Tough skin. Don't be easily broken. Don't be easily offended. Okay, they didn't say hi to you. Okay, they didn't invite you. So what? You know what? So what? What I'm saying to you is that just stay connected to the vine. We are the branches. He is the vine. And apart from him, we're nothing and can do nothing. So stay connected to him. Because he's the only one that's going to help us. Tonight, I can ask, because I don't know everyone, but I can guarantee that we're all going through something. Whether you want to admit it or not. God knows. What is your valley, your dark place, your baca? In the Hebrew, the word baca is weeping, tears, and misery. Can we relate to that? Can anybody relate to that? This is a sure thing. Different seasons for all of us at different times. Either you're coming out of a storm, you're going into one, or you're in one. But we're not exempt. The Valley of Baca is not a place where we want to stay at. Like I told you, I overstayed my place. And you can find that in Psalms 84:6. The valley is a low place. The valley of depression, emotionally confused, weak, difficulties, a dark place, loss of a job, laid off, financial bankrupt, the loss of a loved one, anxiety, fear, doctor's report, the loss of a friendship. The list goes on and on. There's times we don't understand why. We don't understand what's going on. And I don't know about you, but have you ever gotten upset with God? A little disappointed? I know I can't be the only one here. I know I have. But then I need to do an about face and attention because you know what? He's not to blame. You know, I say this. If it's not a God sent, it's a God use. But you know, some of the tribulations and tests that we go through, some are self-inflicted. Some are self-inflicted. And some are God allowed. You know, but never the case, whether it's God sent, whether it's God allowed, or whether it's self-inflicted, we have the victory. We have the victory. We have the victory because if I heard correctly on the cross, Jesus says it's finished. It's finished. Your past, it's finished. Your guilt, it's finished. Your shame, it's finished. Whatever it is that you're going through, whatever season you're in, whether you're just coming out, then guess what? You're going to help somebody that's going in or is in there. But, you know, we're to learn from our experiences. During the week, I saw a funnel. And it's interesting because I'm thinking that's what we all are here. God deposits his Holy Spirit His word in us, that funnel that we are, and it releases, yes? And you are to be that funnel that God needs to use for someone else. But we're so busy, distracted in our own mess, that we can't see beyond our situation. And it's important that we align ourselves in right position. Because when we're out of position, you can't hear. You can't hear right. When you're way out there, you can't hear right. But you know what? The shepherd knows his sheep. And it's so, that's so, like, wows me. You know I hear that, hey, Cross, when I came to church, I could tell where you're sitting because I can hear you. Well, we can be in a crowd, or let's say the sheep, you know, where they're all gathered to go, you know, maybe the shepherds are getting water and the sheep are all there. And then the shepherds are getting ready to go. They start calling on their sheep. And there's a bunch of them. So you think, they're not labeled. They haven't been branded. So you can't say, well, that one's mine, that one's mine, that one's mine. No, when he calls out, when they hear the voice of the shepherd, guess what? Those that belong to him start following him. And we all belong to the shepherd. The Lord is our shepherd. We all are believers here. We all know him. And now that I said know him, there's some of us that know about him. Even though as believers, we know about him, but we don't know him personally. And David is saying, the Lord is my shepherd. He's letting me know he's in relationship with him. He knows him. He's talking about everything the Lord has done for him. That's somebody that's been close to you. That's somebody that knows you. And a lot of us know about him, have heard of him, but don't walk with him. We don't have that dialogue with him. And yet we wonder why we're where we're at. You know, I mean, we're a lot of us that are parents. What is it we want for our kids? We want the best. We want them to make the best right choices. We even advise them, be selective with your friends. You know, we're all in their business. You know, it's like they never grow up or grow out, you know. But that's, check that out. If that's the way we are, how do you think he is for us? He cares about you. He cares about you. He cares about all of us here. And he wants nothing but the best. He wants you to succeed. He wants you to succeed. He wants you to make it through. He doesn't want you to faint and let go. He doesn't want you to start doubting. He doesn't want you to give up. He doesn't want you to quit. He knows that you're going to have trouble. He knows, and he said that in John. He says, but be a good cheer, because I have overcome. So he's led by example. We have a great example to follow, Jesus. But you know what he had to do, right? He had to die. He willingly died. So what does that say to us? We have to willingly die to ourselves. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, what does it say? If my people that are called by my name, right, would only what? How many know it? Humble. So we know it. Humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways. Then guess what? You know, but we're still trying to get to know him. And there's nothing wrong with that. But at some point, we have to graduate. And we have to grow up. You know, we really do. Because the Lord wants to take us deeper. He's calling you to a deeper place. He wants you to be ready for what he has for you to do. He wants to use your life. But he can't use you if you're out of position. He wants to use you. So I'm telling you nothing that I don't first tell myself or he hasn't dealt with me personally. But I encourage you to continue to seek him. Oh, Lord, I know I've said it here and I'm going to say it again. I'm going to ask, have you heard the saying, nothing like trouble? That what? That gets you right back on your knees, right? A lot of us, that's when we come to the Lord. A lot of us, that's when we return back to the Lord. is when trouble knocks in our front door. And so guess what? We do an about face and we come to him. I know one thing is certain. Nothing enters our lives without it first going through the desk of our Heavenly Father. He's the CEO. He's the founder. It passed through his desk this week and said, okay, I want Cross to minister. He looked at it. He said, okay, stamp, approve, user, you know. Or he says, you know, Marie, right now is coming out of a storm, but little does she know that there's victory around the corner, you know. And so, but we don't know some of the things that God is allowing in our lives and what's passing through his desk. How many kids does he have? So many, you know. But just know that you matter to him. You matter to him. Oh, I'm thinking about challenges Joseph's brothers, right? What one means for harm, God turns it around for what? For our good. They didn't have a good, they were jealous of his own brother. And that's something we need to rid of here in the house. And not just this house, in our family homes. You know, we want to move on and move forward. There's a lot of detoxing that we need to do. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. You are not alone. What you feed will grow. What you feed will grow. So if you're feeding fear, if you're feeding doubt, if you're feeding shame, whatever it is you're feeding, it's going to grow. But or if you're feeding fear, I call it the two F's. You need to starve fear and feed faith so that you can grow. Grow. What is, you know, ask yourself or ask the Lord, what is the purpose for this valley? There's a purpose for everything. And just know that the valley has an expiration date. It's not going to last and it's not going to stay forever. It has an expiration date. The valley is a teaching moment. Don't just talk about the Lord. Talk to him. Valley does not have to be a lonely place. Ask yourself, how can I grow today? How can I help? Where can I help? Where can I give? Change will cost you something. It requires dying to self. Will cost you getting out of your couch. Cost you to read the word, cost you to study, cost you to join the gym, cost you to live today as if it were your last. If you knew that, if you were given a deadline, a time frame, and said you only have so much time here, according to doctors, because they've said it many a time to different people, right? What are you going to do? And I've asked that question to someone. And they were speechless. They really didn't think much about it. They just really didn't respond. But you know what I said? I said, if I'm asked that question, what would you do if you knew there was your, you know, you have a month left? Well, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to praise like never before. I'm going to seek the Lord like never before. I'm telling you, because what do I have to lose? What do you have to lose? You have nothing to lose. You have nothing to lose but all to gain. You have nothing to lose but all to gain. So I encourage you, continue with the Lord. Now where I'm left off here is, I'm going to read it one more time. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I love that. So to all of you haters, guess what? The Lord prepares a table before my enemies. That's just, I mean, I'm just saying what it says here, you know. says, "You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over." And I was thinking of a pitcher with, you know, water, let's say, and there's a glass, and I just wanted to actually have it up here as an illustration and just keep pouring and pouring down and seeing it just overflow. What is that telling me? What is it telling you? To me, I see it as David was walking in favor. He was walking in favor. His cup was overflowing. There was no lack in his life. There was nothing missing within him. He was full of Daddy. He was full of the Holy Spirit. He was full of the Word. He knew who he was. He knew what his purpose was. He knew what he was born to do. He knew what he had to do. Do you? Do you? Can you say why you're here today? Do you know your purpose? Say, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." To me, I'll tell you again, reading that Psalms 23, to me is a testimony Psalms. Yes, they use it a lot in the funeral services, and that's good. And, you know, I'm saying, there's a scripture I'm trying to think where it's at, but it says to live is Christ and to die is gain. So it's a win-win situation. Even when we do crossover, when we graduate from here and enter the pearly gates and start, you know, it's a win-win situation. But here tonight, we were talking about life, living on purpose. Living on purpose, knowing who you are. Believe it or not, whether I hope that you leave with something tonight. I hope you got something. I hope you know that you know that you know that you're not a mistake. Know that the Lord is your shepherd and that you are blessed. Just that right there, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. Come on, that means I need nothing. I have no need for anything because I have it all. I have it all. Yes, I want more, but I'm blessed. My cup overflow. And yes, even when I walk through dark seasons, I say, "Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for trusting me to go through this season. Thank you that you believe in me that I'm going to get through. Thank you that you said it's finished. Thank you that it has an expiration date. Thank you that I will not be the same once I come out. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Because there's no way we can stay the same. No way. You want more Jesus? You want more Daddy? Then we need to seek Him. That is bottom line. That's David is saying, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." Why? Because when I'm with you, I have everything. When I'm with you, I have it all. I'm content. I'm content. I'm content with Him. And we need to get into that place. You know, and to me, the master key, you know, because we have a cleaning service, I have a master key to buildings that we clean. So that gives me access to everything. And so the master key is having that dialogue with Him. The master key is locking arms with Him. The master key is walking with Him. The master key is just hanging out with Him. Just sitting down and don't just come with Him and say, "Daddy, can you please? Can you please, Daddy? Please, Daddy, please. Can you do that? Please, can you give me that? Please, I need this. Please, can you do that?" No, not just come on. I tell my sons the same thing. "Hello. I haven't heard from you in a while, but you need something now, and I hear from you." So I'm just saying the same thing, the same thing. You know, we have to have that relationship with the Lord. We just can't come to Him as a needy, needing, needing, and needing. He's not our Santa Claus where He's just going to give you and give you and give you. He requires something, and it requires you giving of you to Him. Because He's already given us everything. He willingly died for you so that you can have an abundant life. So that your cup would overflow. He died for you. He's given you everything, but we want more. And that's okay, like I said, to want more. But in its order, in its time. And so long as we communicate with Him, I believe, ladies and gentlemen, that we'll be good. So I don't know about you here tonight if you're needing prayer, wanting prayer, but I believe that the Lord already had me to share what was in me to share. And I know that it's blessed me because I've had to read my notes, write my notes, read. I've read the Psalms I don't know how many times in the past month because that's what he had for me to share. And I know that, you know, you read the Psalms 23 and it can, if you want to do a Bible study, it's going to be totally turned another way. But that's not what I came to do tonight. It wasn't a Bible study. It was sharing the Word of God, but I was sharing it to you the way he broke it down for me. And I know that it had to minister to you because it ministered to me. So Lord, right now, we just thank you. I thank you. I give you glory. I give you honor. And I thank you with all my heart for this opportunity again that you extended me to share your word. And I pray for everyone here. I pray for everyone, Father, in the name of Jesus. I pray that wherever and whatever it is that they may need, Father God, of you and from you, that you would meet them there. I pray, Father God, one thing. I pray that they will, Lord God, just totally, completely surrender to you. That they would just yield to your will. That they would just open up to you. And that you would totally take charge of their lives. I just pray that you would take control. Father God, I come against, in Jesus' name, every spirit, Father God, that tries to attach itself to us, Father God, that is not of you. I pray, God, in Jesus' name, for you to sever it. In Jesus' name, I pray liberty and freedom for my family and friends, God. I pray freedom in the name of Jesus. Bless their going and bless their coming, Father God. Bless their hands and everything they put their hands to do. Bless their family. Bless their home. Bless them, Father God. Bless them. Bless them. Heal their soul, God. Heal their emotions, God. Heal their mind. Renew their mind, God. I just pray and speak blessings over them in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you. I'm sweating. I'm tending to you.
I'm tending to my. The service has ended, and we thank each and every one of you for coming out tonight. Cross, we just bless you for the word that you gave us, the nuggets that you gave us, and may God just fill you up as you poured out to us, Father. I just ask right now that you just fill Cross up right now. Give her peace. Give her everything that she needs, oh God. And keep her on that path that you have her on, Father.